Welcome to the 39th episode of Take Note. I'm Ted. I'm here with Adam. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Ted. How's it going?
It's going well. This is, of course, our podcast about many different things, but primarily about pens and paper, notebooks, taking notes, keeping notes, reading notes aloud to each other, mindfulness, thoughtfulness, paying attention to what's going on around us, which is, of course, the function of keeping a notebook. So we're excited to be here for another episode. So Adam, I am going to ask you the question that I ask you, or you ask me every week, which is, what do you got? By which I mean, what have you written down in your notebook in the last week or so that will shed light on something of interest?
All right, Ted, I wrote this. And I wrote this today. It's going to feel like negative 54 degrees at 7 a.m. tomorrow. Which means that it could be 100 degrees warmer, 46 degrees, and it wouldn't be hot. As we embark on this 24 or maybe 48 hours inside the house, I don't know if this goes without saying, but schools are closed for the next 2 days and most of Chicago is shut down. As we embark on 24 or 48 hours inside the house, there's debate in my house as to whether to begin with the good whiskey or the cheap stuff. What do you think we should do? What's your opinion?
Well, how far into whiskey can you really get? You're not, I guess in 48 hours you could get pretty far. I'd start with the good stuff.
That's what I thought.
The warm, toasty vibes going, and then when you're ready to just mind erase, you'll have the cheap stuff at the ready.
All right. That was my plan. I'll take that upstairs to the boss.
What are your plans in terms of venturing out? Do you see yourself bundling up with the crew and exploring the neighborhood?
I'm not going out tomorrow. But I will say this. My favorite coffee shop, a little local coffee shop by the train station about a mile from where I live, the lady that runs it, she tends to be open all the time. She's open on Christmas. She's open on Thanksgiving. I thought this was charming. On Christmas this year, I asked her why she changed her mind, and she said it's because the Starbucks is open, so I felt kind of bad. But we she doesn't want people going over to her main competitor. I do, on Christmas we've gone before, like we went sledding, so that's the one thing that tempted me to make me want to go outside was the fact that this poor woman's going to open her great coffee shop. But I'm not going to. I'm not going outside tomorrow. We're going to watch Solo, I think.
There you go. And you were reflecting that with an internet connection, being stranded in a snowbound home is not quite what it used to be.
That's right. So I put on my out of office for the first time in 6 or 7 months, and I kind of let it be known that I would that I'd be checking my email, but I'd also be watching Star Wars with the kid. And I the ability to work from home is fantastic, but I do kind of, I can't help but think that even 20 years ago, if we had a string of days like this, where everybody's at home and you're stuck at home. I mean, it's like state of emergency tomorrow. You would not also be working while just putting your kid in front of the movie. You'd be sitting in front of the movie, too.
Here's what you do. Get into that good whiskey for a good 3 to 4 hours. Then you fire up that email, and you see what's come in and address it accordingly.
Probably lots of booze emojis. Probably have a lot of booze emojis in the email.
Just like they used to do in the 50s.
That's right.
All right. So I've got a very quick note where I was really just capturing the main idea, scribbled in the darkness of a wine bar, watching Roma with no subtitles, and I scratched this note out. It was actually a fountain pen provided to me by a friend of the show and one episode co-host, Ryan Sly, who was showing me his This is a retro 51 fountain pen with some nice Pilot Hiroshizuku orange ink. So I was scoping it out, and I took down watching Roma with no subtitles because he had just regaled me with an anecdote that he and his wife, it was her birthday, and she got to choose which film she wanted to watch, and she chose Roma, Oscar-nominated, Alfonso Cuarón, a real auteur. But someone, and it may or may not have been my wife, told Ryan's wife that it was such a visually stimulating film that one need not watch with the subtitles. Which somewhere along the way was interpreted as subtitles are not available for this film.
Oh, okay.
Now Ryan's wife is a fluent Spanish speaker. Ryan, as far as I know, doesn't speak Spanish or understand Spanish at all. What ended up happening was they watched the entire film with no subtitles.
The way it was meant to be seen.
The way it was meant to be seen. And Ryan just didn't have a clue what was going on the entire time. And so we had a really fun time having them recount this for us at the at the wine bar. Just went over every possible in and out. You know, did you not turn to her at some point and say, "I do not understand what is going on in this movie"? Right? He was like, "It was her birthday, man. It was her birthday. I wasn't going to be that guy." Anyway, that was my scratched out note, nonstop source of amusement, and it was a little bit of pen testing at the same time.
Other than the wine, what makes it a wine bar?
Pretty much just the wine. Actually, I will say they had a nice, it's called a Crew in Houston. I'll buzz market them a little bit. It was an enjoyable evening. They have these modestly priced flights where you could actually order three small glasses of three different wines at one time. And then they gave you a little card that had all the different wines. So you could taste them. That was really fun. I don't do that kind of thing very often. So when I do, it feels like something of a treat.
When I hear wine bar, in my head, I like envision candles, wax dripping out of the table, and kind of like a cavern-like atmosphere. And I feel like it's never that. Oh, it was that?
No. It was sort of the contemporary version of that, where
I'm sure it's nice.
Leather.
Yeah,
it was nice.
Vision.
Yeah. Well, there's one bar in Houston, next time you come, we'll have to go, called La Carafe, actually, which is a sort of wine-ish name, but it's one of the oldest bars in Houston, and that actually would meet your description perfectly. It's downtown, and it has this kind of place they have where you just keep adding a candle onto the candle before it, and it makes this giant stalactite of dripping wax that's gathered over 50 years. That's this place. We'll make a journey down there.
Definitely. I'm writing it down.
When you next come to town. Lock
tight candles.
No, this wine bars are not usually my go-to. I typically just go to a bar, I would say. Yeah. And there's a great brewery that actually Ryan and I enjoy going to. But when I go to a wine bar, I actually thoroughly enjoy myself because wine is really good, turns out. What else you got, Adam?
I did just write La Carafe, one of the oldest wine bars in Houston. Stalactite candles in my...
What'd you write it with and what'd you write it in?
Well, yeah, I wrote it... I'm using... Let's see. It is a capsule 2016 Field Notes edition. And that is kind of this orange peach cover with a leaf artwork in blue on it. It is a beautiful Field Notes, kind of rare notebook too. And I'm using, I was scrounging around for a pen before. I'm using a Pentel Energel 0.7 needle tip pen, and I'm digging it, and I'm liking the click. And that is why I started to mention it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let me comment on the Energel. Energel, that's right, right?
Yep.
I feel like I have a long history with these pens, but I have a conflicted history. I really like the needlepoint, and I like the quality of the writing experience. I can't stand the barrels that they come in. Out of the package, like they feel too thick.
Yep, they do. You're as soon as you said it, it's ruined for me.
It's done. it's always held me back, and occasionally I've actually taken the refills and plugged them into different pens, but I've never quite, found just the right combo. So it's always this sort of weird, I have a lot of respect for them because the quality is really good, but those pen bodies are just, I can't get over those. Anyway.
You're exactly right. It's almost as though we set this up, which we did not do, but this is that's a great point. Before I do my what do you got, what are you writing in? What are you writing with?
Indeed. So I am writing in my Field Notes Chicago Flag edition that you kindly sent to me. And I think I've mentioned it before, but I have a nice Aaron Joplin guitar pick / guitar sticker on the back. It's this one's actually wearing quite nicely the Chicago flag design. Flag for a city. Who knew? Chicago's got a nice one, though. It's sort of... this red stars are wearing down, and I put some red washi tape on the spine to reinforce it a little bit, which makes it just look that much cooler. This is a grid, but I don't even like grid. I've found myself in a position where every notebook I'm using is something other than ruled. Paper, but all I really like to use is ruled paper, so I, for some reason, painted myself into a corner here. Nonetheless, really enjoying it, and I'm writing with my Uniball Jetstream 0.7 in my nice little slightly premium orange barrel that you can get on jet pens, and I've amazingly managed to hold on to this nice orange barrel for quite some time.
Orange barrel, but not orange ink, right?
Not orange ink. No, I think I'm just working with the black. It's just a slightly cooler barrel design, a little bit different than kind of the base sort of black and silver package. It's just orange.
We're going to include that link in the show notes because I want to look at that pen. So you'll have to send me the link.
I will.
All right, so I wrote down here, as I was reading tonight, I realized the postcard I'm using is a bookmark sent from you, Ted Walker, is more than 16 years old, July 2002. Nice. You had just read The Name of the World by Dennis Johnson while you were in D.C. You read it on my suggestion, and you liked my story. Who knows which story? Lost to time. While inspecting the postcard, I lost my place in the book.
I liked your story, meaning the one that you wrote.
Yes, you also said, awesome. Yeah, right, you said that you liked the story I wrote and you were going to send some notes. Yeah.
Wonder if I ever sent those notes.
That's all right, it's better this way.
Well, I'll tell you what, first of all, I need to send you more postcards.
Oh, me too, I need to send you more postcards.
Well, you set the bar high, and so when you say... send more postcards, you mean it's only been a few weeks, whereas I'm thinking it's probably been a few months, if not more, since I've sent you a postcard. But I'll tell you, one of the joys of my life is a house that is bestrewn about with postcards from the Webb family. And they're on the fridge, they're in drawers, they're sticking out of books, they're just... And you've got such great taste, and I love them.
Thank you. And obviously the same is true for postcards from the Walker family. And I guess I don't think we've ever talked postcards on the show before, but so just for the listeners, you and I started sending postcards back and forth in like 2000, 2001. And I remember at your wedding, I met a friend of yours who thought we had never met. We'd only sent postcards, which was not true. We just sent a lot of postcards. Yeah, and we've been doing that for almost 20 years.
That's awesome. I mean, you really, well, I think that's partly why we became friends in the first place, was this pretty solid commitment to the literary life and analog pursuits. But your passion for postcards from a level or two up was always pretty inspiring. And, you know, hunting in antique stores and things like that.
Yeah, this is nonsense. I'm looking at a postcard here that you collaged. I think that you brought it with the postcards just as early as I did. Yeah.
That's right. I did, now that you're reminding me, I did go through a period, and my older sister, world-famous bookstore owner, Ada Fitzgerald of Main Street Books in Davidson, North Carolina, she would remind me of the summer that I spent living in her guest bedroom hand-making postcards, of some of which I probably sent to you. I invented a faux postcard company.
Oil Co. Cards.
Oil Co. Cards, trademark. And, made a bunch of postcards. I had some early dreams of postcard production. I would age them in coffee. And I would go to the library, or the used bookstore more so, and the library, and photocopy old photos out of history books about pirates and Caribbean life, and turn those into postcards. Good times. I totally forgot about that.
This one truly looks like it could have been.
Screw you, man! Coffee. I made my own postcards. I'd say that again.
This one looks like this one truly does look like it could have been aged in coffee. And if I'm trapped inside for longer than expected, I will peel the collage off the postcard, submerge it in some boiling water, and try to drink it.
Survival by handmade postcard. I like it. Actually, that reminds me that my children very excitedly presented me with a treasure map after when I got home from work today that had itself been aged in coffee and had scribbles, and nice. They even burned the edges, and we did a big treasure hunt after that. So it must run in the blood.
You got those boys reading, what is it, Griffin and Sabine? Those kids, not boys.
Not yet, but again, I love it. That's like old school. Man, I love those books. I have not looked at those in a long time. I use them. We must have gotten rid of those. We had that set for a long time.
I was just wondering if I've still got mine somewhere.
If you're listening and you're not familiar with Griffin and Sabine, give it a look. It's beautiful, imagined correspondence with designed cards. And man, I'd be that when I think about everything that we are enthusiastic about now. It might not be a stretch to say that the Griffin and Sabine series is really, really kind of a—I don't know, what would you call it? Like deep level inspiration, touchstone for the possibilities of paper and stationery and postmarking and all of that stuff. So I'd encourage you, if you don't know about it yet, check it out. You really might have your mind. Just a little bit blown. Alrighty. I had a couple of topics. The first one is an article was brought to my attention by a colleague that it was actually written in October, but it really didn't get to me until now. Urban Ink Forager explains how to paint with all the colors of the alley. It's a very long headline on this NPR story, but essentially it's this guy Jason Logan, and he is an ink forager. And I mean, I thought this was just an interesting story about someone who, I mean, I don't even think about making ink, really. It seems like some sort of alchemy that I'd never want to be involved in the slightest. But this guy, he gets out there and gets out in the field and kind of finds things around him and goes for walks and grabs stuff off the street and has enough of a knowledge of the things in an urban environment that you can turn into color and that you can mix with all kinds of ungodly chemicals and turn into ink. And I don't know, it just captured my imagination.
Ted, you sent me this link today, and if I remember correctly, this was it an NPR link?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and I've been trying to remember where I heard of it, and I thought I told you that maybe I'd heard it on NPR, but it just struck me. I'm pretty sure there was also a New Yorker talk of the town about this guy, and he was teaching a workshop on making your own ink as well.
Now I know I feel like I read that, but I feel like that was not this ink guy. And I mean, I think, but it speaks to something, maybe I'm wrong about that, but it speaks to something where you see these foraging stories about, you know, foraging in a city and finding the dandelion sprigs in the park, and you can turn those into salads, and you got the famous restaurant, Noma, I don't know, maybe that's the name of it, never been there, that was entirely foraged, and I know they did some New Yorker coverage of that.
I think you're talking about Nobu, the famous foraging sushi restaurant owned by Robert De Niro.
Am I?
Nope, you're not. You're probably talking about Noma. I like the Nobu is a foraged sushi restaurant.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how you might forage.
You wouldn't. Well,
a yellowfin tuna.
You'd go and you'd go fishing and you'd forage that tuna.
We foraged with a massive hook and
I did look it up while we were talking, and the talk of the town is the same guy, Jason Logan.
It is?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. So I was wrong.
It's fine. I didn't mean it like that, but yes.
Well, so a couple of things from the story, besides just the general interest of making your own ink or even kind of going outside this sort of established scions of the ink industry that have, you know, obviously in their own right make some amazing products. And before I got into this pen business, I'd never thought twice about the fact that there is this whole world of inks out there. But this guy kind of comes in and says, hey, look at what's around you. You can turn those into ink. Quoting from the story here, other finds on his outing included brick dust, wild berries, and cigarette butts. And he's quoted as saying, tobacco is actually an amazing dye and a really interesting ingredient, he says. So that's obviously just fascinating to me. And then moving on a little bit down in the story, the other thing that caught my attention, quoting again, traditionally ink is for mark making and should be stable enough to look the same after years on a page, but Logan's inks are different. They're living. They might change color, fade, or even disappear entirely over time.
And if that isn't some Griffin and Sabine shit, I don't know what is.
Dearest Griffin, you read this letter now as these inks may disappear entirely if you should wait more than three... Utterly. Well, and then, you know, I think we spend a lot of time writing stuff down so that, you know, ostensibly we'll be able to look back in 20 years and know what we were thinking on January the 29th, 2019, the day before the polar vortex froze everything in place for 2 days.
Before the Webb family was lost to the polar vortex.
Adam, we call it the whiskey.
Adam gleefully joked about which whiskey he would drink first.
But, you know, when you introduce this kind of organic level, this sort of ink as an interpretive tool or something that you don't know what's going to happen next, and that it might last a long time or it might disappear. I found that to be a really interesting way to think about it, not as something that was guaranteeing permanence, but more like something that was introducing a level of uncertainty into, you know, he's probably thinking more about art making, but, you know, mark making. And let's see, I'm going to see if I can find it. But at one point he mentions, you know, that some of the materials he's using, I think he found a rusty nail and put it in his pocket. Quoting the story, rust, he says, can make yellow, red, orange, or black. Some of the first rocks that humans used on cave paintings and stuff were iron oxides, which are essentially rusts. So then you're getting into some serious Werner Herzog territory.
That's right.
You're finding a rusty nail on the street with the idea of returning home to create some alchemy and mix it with some lye and other weird things and turn it into an ink that may, at the end of the day, disappear from the page entirely, rendering your marks but a memory of a memory folded between a whisper. That's my Werner Herzog.
No, that's great. I was waiting for it, actually. I was going to prompt you by asking what the Werner Herzog Griffin and Sabine movie would be like, but not necessary because you did the voice without the prompt. That reminds me, though, that there is a Werner Herzog book, his diaries. There is a book about a long walk that he took, On Walking in Ice. Diary was written between November 23rd and December 14th, and he's determined to walk to prevent his friend who was ill from dying. I've not read it, but I've been fascinated by it. It's like a 60-page book. Actually, 60-page book, Ted, that's got to sound pretty good for you.
Hey, I'm this close to abandoning my 25-book Goodreads.com subsidiary of Amazon.com reading goal. You've broken my spirit with your own productivity and reading.
Well, you've raised my spirit, and I don't think you should give up on that goal. I think you should give up on that Hilary Mantel book. We've all been there. It's called The Mantel Curse.
You know what? If I can just be your booster rockets to launch you into a year of great reading, and just you can just cast me off into the ocean, I think I'm okay with this at this point. I've accepted my role in providing just the right amount of competitive spirit for you to fire off into the reading stratosphere, and I'll just float to the bottom of the Caspian Sea and leave my sad reading goals behind.
That sounds great to me. And if I've made this too in-jokey, just to be perfectly clear, I'm reading books. Ted is reading book.
I had another topic. This is just something kind of the life of the pen enthusiast. Sort of a talk of the town, if you will.
Yeah, we should call these. That'd be great.
I have had a spate of experiences in which I have discovered that the people around me are also pen and paper enthusiasts. It's just taken me or someone else a long time to figure it out.
Okay, explain. Now,
So actually at the wine bar, once again, this was obviously an eventful evening. That's what happens when you have kids. You go out once every 3 months and it turns out.
It all seems very exciting. It does. Got out.
It was a good sized gathering, and you know, some friends from different sectors were there. So I was making conversation with a friend of Ryan's again also. And, I just somehow brought up, you know, pulled out my field notes or somehow we were making notes, or I think it might have been when I was borrowing his pen and but pens and paper came up, and I came to find out that Ryan's friend loves Field Notes, buys Field Notes, loves Baron Fig products, has some Baron Fig pens, just total one of us, fully, if not more so, even, you know, buys pens on Kickstarter, got the whole thing. And I'm having this great conversation, really enjoying, you know, learning that somebody else is in our little world and enthusiastic about it. And I turn to Ryan, and he's just got this shocked look on his face. And he's known this friend of his for probably a decade, or maybe, you know, something in that range. And he just says, "I had no idea that you were into any of this." So that was enjoyable for me, not only to discover a fellow pen enthusiast, but to see that I was that I had broken open something between two friends that just, you know, you just get into a zone and you don't, you know, you can look back and say, how did this never come up before? And I think it's a funny thing where, I don't know, it's you don't wear a hat that says, you know, that says Field Notes on it. Although I have a patch on my backpack that says Field Notes, but you're not wearing a t-shirt that says, Blackwing 601 rules, you know,
and, you're not wearing a hat that says Tombow on it.
It's well, some, I know for a fact that, Erasable podcast and the membership podcast host, Tim Wasson, will be wearing a hat.
Oh, that's right.
With the Tombow pencil.
Bad example.
I thought you were making reference.
I was.
In fact, it's a hat. but that's a great side note. The Ebbetsfield Flannels Tombow hat. Get thee over to the Ebbetsfield Flannel site and grab you one of those. It'd be a very well made hat.
Absolutely.
You will enjoy it for many years to come. Okay, so that was the one time it happened. And just today, I was speaking with one of the VPs in my division, you know, the real honchos, and someone I think had told her about this podcast. So she said, "Hey, I heard you have a podcast." I'm like, "Yeah, you know, check it out. We talked about pens and stuff." And she sets her bag on the table, pulls out her pen case. And I was like, "Oh, snap, okay." And she's got a full deck of Uniball Jetstreams, and she's like, "These are my pen." And I was like, those are my pens. You are, okay, you are fully," and she takes out a Behance notebook with great, just all kinds of awesome segmenting for meeting power notes. She pulls out her bullet journal, which is in an A5 size notebook with multicolored pens. And I was just totally locked in. And she, I was really excited. She let me know. She listened to an episode of the podcast.
A good one or a bad one?
I have no idea.
Okay.
We only make good ones. So I think that's the only answer.
Great.
And she was stoked about the bullet journal episode and totally geeked out. And this is, I've worked with her for years. It's just a wonderful process, and when you finally crack it open, it just I don't know, there's something really enjoyable about it. And, you know, I think we have our relationships online, our Facebook groups, our websites, and those are great, and you know, someone like Brad Dowdy is such a great ambassador, but there's something about when it happens right around you that you find out that someone's been, I won't say people hide it, but they're just, it's not something that you share by default about yourself when you're working with people.
Right. I have a theory, Ted. My theory is that you work at a university, and so this is something that might happen at a university, whereas I work in a co-working location, in a very quiet nook of a co-working location. And my attempts at these sorts of conversations have not really gone as well. I've been more inquisitive. I've seen someone with a notebook, and is that a is that a bullet journal? And they look at me like I'm an alien. Though they like, though they're a notebook fan. So I think what I will do, I will make a little experiment. I work, as I said, in a very quiet nook in this co-working location. I will try to venture out, which I should do anyway, into the more crowded areas of the co-working location. And I will put my field notes out, and I will put my bullet journal out, and I will get to work, and we'll see if, we'll see what happens. I'll let you know in like 9 months.
Sounds good, buddy. Let's do this again next week. What do you say?
All right. Great.
Check us out on takenote.space. That is a URL. Takenote.space. We're on Twitter at takenotepod. Send us a message through the website. There's a contact us box. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what's going on. If you want to share a note, some things you've jotted down, even if you have to transcribe them into the box, let us know. We'd love to hear it.
And yeah, we'll for talk our to famous you soon. Segment, transcribe them into the box.